Don't get them girls loose. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Oh, we're having a lot of fun in the Dog Bowl today. Browns on the practice field as they're getting set for the Atlanta Falcons. And that seventh win, let's be honest about it, is going to be much needed in this game number 11 for the Browns. All you need to do is look at the glut and the logjam in the AFC, Matt, huh?
Absolutely.
I mean, we're talking of virtually everyone with the exception of Oakland, New York Jets. Am I missing anybody?
Jacksonville.
Yes, you're right. That's it. I mean, everybody else got a shot.
Yes.
Everybody else got a shot to be a playoff team going in the final six games.
Yeah, you're right. Even, again, we'll see the Colts coming up in a couple weeks here at First Energy Stadium. And the team that, you know, visited last week, the Houston Texans at 5-5, mm-hmm. with the Colts at 6-4, are in the picture too now.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a team that some people going into that game discounted them from the playoff conversation, just taking for granted that it was going to be the Colts representing from the AFC South. But everybody's playing hard. You've got Miami in it. You've got Buffalo in
sure.
it. You've got, of course, New England playing great football right now. Mm-hmm. Denver, San Diego, KC. That, you know, you might get three from the West.
That's right.
So it's very difficult, and I think the Browns have to do everything they can and not take anything for granted to lose this football game, because I think this, as an organization and as a team, is a huge step in the right direction. This will be our third victory on the road, knowing that we have to close with 4 out of 6.
Yeah, exactly. And, the Browns have shown they can win at home this year, 4-2 at home. But let's see if they – back-to-back, let's go see if they could start to show they can win football games again when the spotlight's starting to get real intense. How big will Browns special teams be on Sunday? Well, they, as we know, sometimes not always on the positive side, but they've been huge this year and come into focus. Let's hear from Browns special teams coordinator Chris Tabor. As a little while ago, he had this conversation with the media.
Just opening statement, just getting ready for Atlanta. Need another good day of practice in order for our preparation to go where it needs to go so we can play well against these guys. Obviously a really good battery in Bryant and Bosher, the kicker and the punter, having really good years. And obviously they have an electric return man in Hester. So another great challenge for us. In order for us to get a win, it's going to have to be a team deal, and we need to step up and do our part in this area. So with that, I'll answer any questions.
Mike figured that Hester would keep you up at night this week. Has that been the case?
I slept real well last night. I slept like a baby, cried my way to sleep last night on the deal. No, he's dynamic. He's a future Hall of Famer. Know him real well. Have a lot of respect for him, not only as a player, but more importantly as a person. And it is. It's a great challenge for our cover units, and I have confidence in our coverage guys. And so we'll see where we're at based off this returner.
Obviously, he's got unbelievable ability, but Chris, what is it about his – seems to have an uncanny knack to kind of find those seams and hit them.
He does. He obviously catches the ball real well. The thing that separates him, obviously, his speed, but more his vision and his instincts. I mean, Devin makes you cover the whole field as opposed to just a little bit of the field. And with that, you have to take into consideration his talents. But at the same time, we got to play to our talents and our strengths, and we'll do that.
Has he slowed down any from your days with Devin Chidani?
Well, some people thought so, but this year, as you watch him on tape, I don't think he. I think he's kind of found the fountain of youth a little bit. You know, he's not one of the leading punt returners because he hasn't had enough opportunities, but he's over 12 yards per return, and kickoff wise, he's making you cover the whole thing. He looks like old Devin to me.
Talk about sometimes you get guys that play regular downs on defense or offense, maybe sometimes their commitment to special teams may wane a little bit. They don't think it's important. What about how's Craig Robertson been for you?
Craig, heart and soul of our unit. He's a guy that takes great pride in what we're doing and always gives us a boost. He hasn't slacked one bit at all. He's at the end of the day, he's a football player. A lot of people don't know this about Craig, but on Friday nights, I mean, he goes and watch high school football games. Because he's kind of a football junkie, and he takes every rep seriously. So I've been real pleased with how he's playing, and he definitely gives us a spark.
You know, Marlon Moore getting dinged up last week, and I know we asked you this especially early in the season. But where's Justin Gilbert at as far as his work in practice and returning? And is he potentially in the mix here?
Cause it, oh, yeah. No. Oh, yeah. No, he's in the mix, getting better at it. If Marlon, you know, he's a little dinged up right now, but we have a host of guys that we'll go to, and I'm excited about seeing what they can do. I mean, I've been saying for weeks that we've been kind of at the house, and we had to kind of knock the door down, and unfortunately we knocked it down, and, you know, there was a penalty on the play. Still encouraged by that, and, you know, whoever we put back there, I think they could have the possibility of doing the same thing.
When you were Hester, like, do you have a memory that stands out about what it's like to coach him or the best thing you saw him do when you were with him?
Probably would have been, well, a lot of memories with him. One of them was a Monday night game. It was when the Metrodome kind of collapsed, and we had to go play at the University of Minnesota. And he set a record that night for punt returns, the all-time. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was a heck of a return. And it probably my biggest memory, though, of him is you could stand over on the sideline and you kind of say, Hess, what do you like? And you say, Coach, send me to the field. And you say, the field it is. And he's a dynamic player, but at the same time, he's a true pro. That's why he's been playing a long time, been so successful. I have a lot of stories. Not one really sticks out, but I think highly of him.
Chris, this week, Josh caught on, you know, obviously, with the Colts. How do you think he'll do? Were you happy to see him catch on with someone? And was there a little bit of feeling like, ooh, we have to see him instead of having him on our side?
No, number one, I'm happy for him. I'm always happy for players that I've coached that still get an opportunity to play in the National Football League. It's an honor and a privilege. But with regards to thinking about Josh in Indianapolis, I'll be quite honest with you. I can't think about Hester and Cribbs together. You can't. I mean, we're concentrating on this one, and then when we get to that game, we'll concentrate on that.
Bobby, for Cribbs at all?
As I stated a couple weeks ago, I'm responsible for coaching the guys that we have, and really, honestly, and I'm not ducking the question, but at the same time, I can only be concerned with the players that we have in-house. I mean, because in my world, there's injuries, there's transactions that take place, and it affects me. Maybe one guy doesn't play, and you're going, well, you just put another guy in. That's not the case. That could be a three-person move. And so that's kind of where my world's at, and that's kind of what I concentrate on that.
Communication with either him texting you or anything?
I did not. The last time I saw Cribsy was actually this summer. I went into Panera, and he happened to be in there, so we visited and had a good visit.
Chris, went back to Benjamin at punt return. Did he do enough to keep the job?
Yeah, he sure did. He's going to be our punt returner. Rabbit's going to be back there. And, you know, he had one return for 7 yards. And I know we're getting beat up pretty good on this punt return deal. I guess I put it lightly. But at the end of the day, we had one opportunity. Shane Leckler, a guy that usually bombs the ball away, did not bomb the ball away. Now, weather, I'm sure. I didn't know also if that was a Travis factor also. I mean, the last punt, we had to go with two returners in the game. I was just trying to stop the ball if it was short so it wouldn't roll for another 15 or 20 yards and just try to hide the net. I mean, I think the last punt that he had went 29 yards and 4-1-4. So as much as we're getting beat up in the return game, we're not going to return those footballs. So he had the one chance. I think that he did a nice job coming up to catch the football, got what he could. It happened to be 7 yards, and we moved on. And what we were trying to really do, emphasize, was just try to handle field position.
All right, that's Chris Tabor, the Browns special teams coordinator. And as we know, point of emphasis, as Chris brought out, with so many variables attached, and I'm sure we'll see that come into play, as it always does, as the Browns travel to Atlanta. Halftime here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. When we get back on the other side, big second hour, roundtable as Doug Deacon joins. Also have Fact or Fiction, which is always a lot of fun. and opportunities for you as well. 216-578-0850. Tweet at the show. At Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 57, at Michael Regai, at Browns underscore daily. Want to hear from you. Another hour to go. Don't go away. When we get back, Nathan is here and ready to go with us. That's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.